Casey, as you were just saying, who's ready for round two?
Who's ready for round two?
And the end of round one.
Round one is so close to being done, y'all.
Almost done. We are talking basketball.
Talking basketball.
On the Rule of Threes podcast, talking basketball. You guys don't realize this, but Casey has shaved his beard.
Aha.
He said he would do that if the Rockets won. No. He just did it for comedy reasons.
God, I am so glad I don't do dumb bets like that for sports. You know, kind of very off topic. Did you hear about that guy who said he was going to eat poop if a certain player was drafted first?
No.
Yeah.
Is this an NFL thing?
Yeah, it's an NFL thing.
If Baker Mayfield was drafted first?
Yes, yeah. This guy was like, I'm going to eat poop. And it's just like, it never works out. I mean, you know, you talk about it in Anchorman. It never works out.
Yeah. There was someone recently on NBA Twitter that was like, if this team wins, I won't be on Twitter for like 3 months or something. And then he was immediately back on Twitter. I hate that. I hate no follow through.
It's tough.
I was a little bit deceived by my TV this morning.
Uh-oh.
When you came in, that I put on NBA TV and they were already playing a Pelicans Warriors game. And I was like... Is the time zone? Like, I was like, because that happens sometimes. I will say, you grew up on the West Coast.
I did, yeah.
I did not. I grew up in Texas and I lived in New York for a long time. So living in Los Angeles is great if you're an NBA fan.
Oh, yeah.
Because the games are over like sooner than you think. It's like 4 p.m. and a game that you're interested in is already like halfway done. I mean, it's not great if you want to see it live, but if you just want to get like results.
Yep.
It's like by the time 8 p.m. rolls around, you have like all the games are done. Like it's amazing. So I get used to sometimes like waking up at like 11 in the morning and being like, oh, that game's already on. Like, you know.
Shout out to all my East Coast basketball bros, Sean and Chris, who, oh man, they really can't watch their Lakers games late at night. They'll stay up until like 11:30 and be like, I gotta go to bed. I can't do this anymore.
For example, tomorrow, Cleveland, Indiana, I believe, is at 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern.
Yeah.
So that's what, 11, 12, no, 11, 12, 1? 10 a.m. here?
Yeah.
So, like, it's on at 10 a.m. Like, as soon as you wake up, you can watch a basketball game. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the one and only best reason to live in California.
Yeah. There are a couple of times during the season the Raptors will have, like, a noon game for Toronto. It's great.
Yeah,
it's great. You get to watch some 9 a.m. basketball. You go to basketball all day. That'll happen on like Martin Luther King Day, basketball holidays.
You know, right.
When they have just a slate of the 5 best games, and they just go back to back to back to back, and you get Ernie and Kenny and Shaq and Charles in the booth. And by like the end of the day, they're just like, I don't know what's going on anymore. I can't do this.
That was a great Ernie Johnson impression.
Thank you. That's my Ernie. What would an Ernie Johnson impression be? At the studio, guys. I mean, I got nothing.
That was pretty good.
I don't know.
He has there's definitely a swallowed nature to his tone a little bit, like Ernie Johnson here. Well, like not quite like that haughty, but there's definitely a tone he has a little bit in his voice.
It's funny because the tone is there, but what he's saying is not that like. He says it like it's swallowed, but it's not actually. So like he's there and he's like with it, and he just has to like keep this crew from like exploding and falling apart.
Right. Okay. We're gonna set a goal for this podcast for one or both of us to become famous enough one day to have Ernie Johnson as a guest.
That's perfect. Yeah. That sounds great.
He'll be our stretch guest.
Perfect.
So what games did you watch?
Oh man, what games did I watch?
Well, let me tell you. I'll tell you this. I was not able to record a podcast midweek schedule-wise, and I also would not have been in the mood to, because I believe Wednesday night, every single game didn't go the way I wanted it to go, and I was just annoyed.
Yes, yeah.
Because, like, the Cavs-Pacers game, I thought was so annoying.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I watched some of that game, and it was just, like, you know, one of those LeBron takes over, and people from... Indiana are mad because the calls didn't go their way. And
well, I fully disagree with people that say that the call didn't matter.
The only people who are saying that the call didn't matter are people who want Cleveland to win.
Yeah,
right. Because, the call didn't matter. You made the three.
Yeah,
no way you can.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no for a lot of reasons. One is just this will be my 32nd reason why it matters that it was a goaltend. Why it matters is. because first of all, Nate McMillan after their game was like, we should have used our foul to give, right? And one of the reasons they didn't was they're nervous that he's going to throw up a shot attempt and get three fouls. Now, I think that you'd be a little more likely to do it if you're, because he only needs to make one free throw and they win the game. I just think they'd be a little less hesitant to use that foul to give.
Yeah.
I also think they would game plan differently for the last play.
Yeah.
Because it's, if someone gets a two-point goal, it's not the end of the world. So you can definitely guard three-point line a little more aggressively. Finally, yeah, it's a huge difference to shoot when you are tied and you're basically got a free shot to win the game.
Yeah.
Versus I have to make this shot to tie or win the game.
Yeah.
Like if you miss the shot, you lose the game. That's a huge difference.
It's a ridiculous difference in your mind. It's a difference in, you know, everybody will play differently. There's just no way that you can say that it doesn't matter.
Yeah. As someone who in a rec league, in a playoff game, fouled someone with no time on the clock and they got to shoot three free throws to win a tied game, which was probably the worst failure of my entire life.
Yeah.
You know, I can just tell you the mindset's different. That's all. That was a game where, like, I mean, it's just like amateur dudes, right?
Yeah.
And after the game, not a single other player on my team, like, came to say, like, oh man, that was a bad call, or like, it was a bad call. But, you know, like, there was no, they were just like, fuck you, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's like after a bad show when you're like, oh, I did terribly. And everybody comes up to you and they're like, good show, man. Good job. You really did it. Great show. We love your show. It's like, oh, God, now I have to go home and cry.
Now, today, after the Cavs-Pacers game, happy to podcast.
Happy podcast.
Mostly because of the return of Victor.
Yeah, I mean, he had had a real rough 2-5, and,
yeah,
you know, and he popped back in 6, and he played great. He played like Donovan Mitchell has been playing all series.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good neither of those teams is going to win the championship.
Yeah.
But it's good for Oladipo's career because this is like, you're at the next level now. You're getting game planned against. You're being Lillarded.
Yeah. Lillarded.
And I'm surprised that Lillard didn't respond sort of better to that challenge.
Yeah.
But it's a good growth thing for Victor to be like, you're going to get double teamed now. Like, you know, you're going to have to handle it.
You're going to have to be able to deal with passing out of a double team on a pick and roll. And that's something that I think that, you know, once you practice and you game plan around, you can make it happen. He's a talented player. He'll be able to make it happen.
I was thinking about how just randomly about Pelicans, Warriors, and, you know, we were saying, like, they're not going to be able to double Steph in the same way. And it does help that, like, when Steph gets it out of the double team, he's basically passing it to people that are not only good shooters, but they're all good passers.
Oh, yeah.
So it must make the double teaming much more frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
When you end up creating offensive opportunities for the other team by double teaming.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's a way for you to have to run around a ton on defense. It's people running out of position and getting into places that they don't want to be. And that's how you break a defense, is by, you know, getting that initial disadvantage and then creating an advantage after passing the ball around it by getting those crisp passes. It's important.
Yeah. Did you watch any games last night?
No. I paid attention to what was going on, but I wasn't able to watch any of the games.
Oh, that's right, because you had a comedy show that you shaved your beard for.
Oh, boy.
Too late. You know, we should start plugging our shows, but that one is in the past now.
Yes, it's in the past. You guys should come to it. It's at midnight. It sold out, so I didn't need to do any publicity for it. So,
wait, is there another one?
No.
Okay.
There are jokes about how we're going to start a monocene practice group with all 76 of us.
Oh.
So, and by there are jokes, I mean I made a joke on the Facebook event. So,
This was an Avengers-related comedy show.
Yeah, go Avengers. We did comedy.
I will say, not related to basketball, I highly recommend the Avengers movie.
Go see it.
And,
you know, support small independent theater.
Right. By theater, we mean filmed entertainment.
The
actual movie theater.
Yeah. Go support your theater. Go use your movie pass at a theater.
Mm-hmm. By that mom and pop family, AMC.
Yeah, yes.
Alex and Maria Champlain.
Champlain. They're French.
And you're a big superhero fan, right?
I like the
superheroes. Do you like the MCU?
Yeah, I'm a fan. I like it. It's fine.
I hate it.
Yeah.
But, and I hate what it's done to movies, but I like that movie a lot.
Hey, hey. So,
that's I like Black Panther too, but anyway, do you want to make some picks?
Yeah, let's,
or
well,
we'll
let's,
go gaming, like sort of talk about games.
Let's talk, well, first, let's talk about how, let's go back. Let's take our accountability to the next level.
Sure.
And talk about what we picked.
We went through and figured out by doing something, by not writing it down the first time. We had to do some forensic investigation of what our picks are.
Yeah, we listened to our podcast, y'all.
So we called Golden State pretty well.
Yes, we did.
You got it in four, you, I had it in five.
So you were, you're perfect there.
We're basically both right, though.
It was a gentleman's sweep.
I think they'll be fine. Well, I just want to say this. Do you think Steph's coming back tonight?
No.
I don't think he is either.
I don't think so. But if he does, I mean, he said it was 50-50. I'm flipping that coin.
Yeah. We'll keep going. Then we'll talk about round twos. Houston, Minnesota.
We both got Houston.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to pick against Houston until they get more of a challenge, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know, maybe in, like, the next round?
Yeah, next round, yeah. New Orleans, Portland, you made a good call on this.
I picked it. I made it. I was not an ESPN.com
That's right. I was. Was your pick was not predicated on Giroux, though, right?
No, it was predicated on the fact that I think that the Portland Trailblazers are trash. I think that Yusuf Nurkic is trash. And that I think Anthony Davis is great. Yeah. And so, yeah, we talked a little bit about how I did not at all see Drew coming. I didn't see playoff Rondo coming through. Right. But I did see the fact that Anthony Davis is a world beater.
And that all the other players on the Trailblazers, as you said, can kick rocks.
Kick rocks.
Utah.
I want them to stub their toes. I'm not nice. I am not nice. KC is not nice.
I bet a lot of people think you're nice.
Yo, I'm very nice.
Utah Thunder. You picked Utah. I think I picked the Thunder.
I did. But I, you know, I'm.
Well, first of all, you had ulterior motives for picking Utah.
I want Paul George.
And you, I think, got a early Christmas gift last night.
Oh, my goodness. It was wrapped in a bow of a 2-for-16.
I don't think it could have gone any better for you.
What a crap game by PG last night.
Not just the 2-for-16. The whatever, like 13 or 43 or whatever it was.
Hey, you know, I mean,
19 for 43.
Listen, that's the Kobe playbook. You know, is you make people not want to play with you, and then you make the people who really want to play with you, the people who are good, all right, the people who want to do
your Matt Barneses, your Ron Artest.
Yeah. So I'm excited for Matt Barnes and Ron Artest to come out of retirement and play for Oklahoma City next year.
Let's give you my hot take, which I post on Twitter. You might have seen.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay.
Because it's two parts. First of all, as a huge Kobe fan, I don't know what the difference is between Russ and Kobe, but I think there's a difference. Like,
oh, it's defense. It's that Russ is
defense,
bad at defense.
And also, I don't think Kobe. I really don't think he chased stats in the same way. I don't think he would have chased stats that were like where he didn't win the game too.
I'm giving you the biggest side eye right
now. You don't think so?
I think Kobe was a huge stat chaser, but like a stat chaser in a way where he tried to hide it.
I think he cared more about winning than Russ does.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think they both passionately desire
how to win. Well, he certainly
won
more than Russ did.
I don't know if they know how to win any other way than I'm going to do as much as I can right now immediately. Like that's the thing where like they say they want to win and they try their best to win. Mm-hmm. The only way they know how to win is by pounding their head into a wall. And by pounding their head into a wall, I mean taking 100 shots.
You know what? Maybe it's or just passing, that I believe
Russ passes.
So I think maybe it's that I think Kobe's basketball IQ is higher and that his he's way more in control. So, like, if he's shooting 40 shots, it's not just a flailing, like, I gotta win this game.
Yeah. At the beginning of Kobe's career, yes. At the end, it was some of those pull-up threes were, oof.
Oh, well, I mean, the last season of Kobe's
the career, last four seasons?
There was a good season, right before he got injured.
Yeah.
I just think, so I'm trying to set aside my tribalism in that I feel like there is a qualitative difference between the way Kobe plays and the way Russ plays, even though a lot of their, I also think it's funny, the number of NBA Twitter dudes that hated Kobe and still find ways to like defend Russ. I'm so glad that I don't have to root for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Because even with the Thunder, with when Durant was on the team, I remember thinking like, this guy makes such boneheaded plays sometimes, in critical moments. And at that point, I don't know. It's funny, his alphaness in the way that he like sort of hurt Durant and Harden is similar to the way Kobe's alphaness about Shaq.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It worked better with Kobe.
Yeah.
That's kind of undeniable. Like, in just in terms of results.
Yes. because I think Kobe was able to work as a team. And, like, I think Russell can work as a team. I think that when he feels like he's not surrounded by good players, he doesn't trust them to do the things that he has them do. And they have just the worst offense, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Lakers were coached better.
I mean, it might just be that he had a better coach.
There's a lot of that.
When I see Billy Donovan talk, I don't have confidence in his coaching. Or I just don't have confidence in his ability to wrangle Russell in any way. Like, it doesn't seem... I don't know. Also, yeah, the offense is horrible.
Yeah.
I'm kind of amazed that he gets as many assists as he does sometimes.
I mean, he will pass to people who are open. Like, yeah. that's a thing. And he'll have those possessions where he runs up the court and he decides that he's going to take that 20 footer.
Yeah.
6 seconds into the shot clock. But he'll also have those times when he makes great passes in transition. You know, we cannot deny his ability to get assists. I mean, and to get rebounds. I mean, the numbers are there. It just doesn't feel like when things actually matter that he trusts anybody else enough to make that happen. A lot of it feels like his assists and rebounds come from a head kind of place, like a win more kind of a place.
My hot take on him is, I have an umbrella hot take.
Okay.
Which is
that you shouldn't have an umbrella when it's hot out.
That's right. Is that, he is now a great stats on a bad team guy.
Okay.
Which is a Bill Simmons concept, which I would say Devin Booker would fall under currently.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, somebody who, God, who's that guy who he plays for Cleveland? He's really good.
Well, that's my hat. I believe LeBron has become that guy, because that's the corollary of he doesn't have enough help.
Okay,
because you could say like Kevin Love didn't have enough help at the Timberwolves, and he put up these great stats, and
30-30,
and then he left the team. And it's like, what? He's a fraud. He wasn't as good. This is what makes me think. I know you want Paul George for the Lakers. I don't think I want LeBron. I don't think it's going to happen anyway. But I don't think I want him, because I think he distorts a team philosophy in a way that has a very small margin of error. And the margin of error is whether or not he scores 40 points. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I want LeBron. I'm not gonna sit here and like pretend that I don't. I think it would be really great to have LeBron on the Lakers, especially because, you know, it's a short term thing anyways. You know, it's not a long term thing. LeBron's only got 15, 20 years left in the league, you know, so he's not going to be on the Lakers.
Oh, you know what? It depends on what the contract is. Because
a 1+1.
Is he only going to do 1+1s for the rest of his life?
Yeah. Why not?
Has he
ever needed the financial security of a long-term contract that his skills and his health are going to erode? No, he's got 35 years left in the league. LeBron's going to be around forever.
I actually think his drop-off is coming very soon. I think if you take the totality of his game, we're already in his drop-off. I know he's at playoff, whatever, but even the Pacers game, the last two Pacers games, I still maintain he's like making bad defensive plays.
I mean, yes, he's not as dominant defensively as he used to be. But I don't think you can say that we're in like his drop off. Like,
oh, we
definitely are. This series, he's still averaging 30 points and 10 rebounds and 10 assists, basically. Right?
Yeah.
If you're saying that's your drop off.
Well, it's saying he was at a legendary level before. But he hasn't played the defensive side of the ball for like three seasons now.
Okay. I'm not going to defend his defense because he can't defend his defense because he can't defend, you know, consistently right
now.
But I don't think that that means that he's not worth paying the max to as a player.
I think he's worth paying the max to. But what if he comes to you and says, what's the max deal now? Like, is it 5 years or is it four if you're
It's four if you're not.
Okay, he comes and says, I want the max deal for 4 years.
Yeah, I give it to him. It's not even a question. If you're a team in the NBA and LeBron says, I want to play with you and I want to have the max, you say, yes.
Okay, I suppose I'll go along with that. I'm just telling you that the last 18 months of that are going to be hard to watch.
Okay.
Because...
So you ship his ass out, Kobe style, all right? And there will be another team who will pay for LeBron for that, right? Because of whatever reason, part of the reason he takes those one by ones, I think that sometimes there's a minimum. What I mean to say is that sometimes low salary players on 1 year deals have. Restricted trade rights, like you can't trade them without their permission.
Right.
I think LeBron would be really, really, really mad if he signed with a team and did not get a no trade clause.
If he
was traded in the middle of a contract, he'd be pissed. You don't do that unless you want the wrath of LeBron, which, you know, is the wrath of age 36 LeBron like our problem?
No. By the way, this is why I think we're in the drop-off, because we're talking about how he has dragged a team to, like, a Game 7 and a Round 1.
Round 1, yeah.
Like, the bar is moving for, like, what we consider a great LeBron year.
I mean, he's dragged this team, which is, I think we both acknowledge, a bad team to it, right?
Yeah.
This team is bad.
That also is not independent of his behavior.
No, it is not, but it... I don't think this team would win 30 games without LeBron.
Also in the West, they wouldn't be in the playoffs.
In the East, they wouldn't be in the playoffs without LeBron.
With LeBron,
they'd be in the playoffs in either league.
Oh, I don't think in the West they would.
I think they would have. Right? I think that they're better than...
I just mean that they would have played a lot of teams. 20 more games in the West if they were in the West.
Yeah.
Against all that 3-9 stuff. Like, they would have played... two more games against the Nuggets and might have only picked one off, you know?
But which West team goes over? This is the worst West team switches, you know, in this imaginary scenario.
So they would go to the West and...
New Orleans goes to the East?
Oh, you mean like someone in the... Oh, someone in Midland would go... Yeah. We wouldn't just send over Phoenix, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yes, right. So I think that with that switch, I think they'd still make...
This is my question. Somebody... If this continues on... So he probably won't go to a terrible team next year. I believe now that he's not going to stay in Cleveland. I can't imagine he would.
There's no way.
But if let's say he had another year like this, what's the fundamental difference between him and a good team, good stats on a bad team player? Because that seems like exactly what he's doing right now.
Well, so good stats on a bad team is, you know, in the parlance of Bill Simmons, a negative term, right?
Yes.
I don't think it necessarily actually is a negative thing. Good stats on a bad team means you're just a good player.
I think what it means
a bad team.
I think what it means is some people overestimate his ability to have those same stats when he leaves.
Okay.
So that's like a Rashard Lewis who was like a 23, 22 points and 7 rebounds or whatever.
Yeah.
Got a max contract and then left and was like bad at that point.
I mean, wait. So Rashard Lewis signed in Orlando and led Orlando with a good team to the finals.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think that's, like, after those finals years, he dropped off as a player.
He didn't lead that team.
He led that team with Dwight Howard. Like, he and Dwight Howard and Hedo Turkoglu led that team.
Yeah.
Right? That team, like, played well, was a dominant team in the East for 2 or 3 years. All I'm saying is that, like, if we look at these players... holistically as like just a player, right? Divorce them from their teams. It's easier to say, like, this is a good player, this is a bad player.
Yeah.
It's much harder to say it in the context of this is a good team, this is a bad team, and this person is making their team worse or better. And well, I think that LeBron feels like a guy who makes his team better, but, like, a lot of people put this, like, historical importance on LeBron that is hard to measure in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're saying, like, okay, he's this player. He has to be the greatest of all time, or he has to be, you know, he has to take his team to the finals every year. He has to live up to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan didn't take his team to the finals every year. It took him a long time to get there. And then he had that 6-year run, mm-hmm. which was marked in the middle by a 2-year break from basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, you think about, you know, he never lost in the finals, but that's, you know, kind of the luck of the draw sometimes. There's stuff that's about it that is, like, the rest of his team was world beaters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to, I don't know, it's hard to look at LeBron and say, okay, this guy, he's just there for the stats. He's just there to put up stats, when it really feels like he's the reason that they're good.
I can see that. I'm just curious if there's almost like a cannibalistic nature to the way that he plays that I'd love to see, like, an analysis of actual individual performances of people that play with him and then don't.
Yeah.
Because I think he makes the team better. I think he makes your win-loss record better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a lot of evidence to show that he makes players play better over their heads when they play with him. Like, in the way that, like, the Spurs system will have somebody like Jonathan Simmons be like, oh my God, this guy's like the next whatever. And then he goes and signs a contract. And then you basically don't hear from him for the entire season.
Yeah.
Where that system seems to, like, elevate the way Brad Stevens seems to get, like, stuff out of people.
Right. So what's the difference here? We're talking about a player and then we're talking about a system, right? You can't really compare the two.
Because the system is built around LeBron though.
The system is built around LeBron because they don't have a good system in general, right?
Because they don't have a good system, but he must have a little bit of influence on how that's built.
So you can only have so much, right? If LeBron played for the Spurs, are you saying that they'd take LeBron and make him even better?
I don't know.
Right. But I think LeBron, and then everyone else would have a great system to play in.
But I think objectively we could look at which players, like, for example, let's compare him to another player, Steve Nash.
Uh-huh.
Clearly made people have better seasons than they should, or, like, did with other players.
Okay.
Like, he got Sean Marion to, like, all-star level, basically.
Okay.
And then Sean Marion left and did not reach that level again.
Okay.
He's more point guard focused, whatever, but there's plenty of point guards that don't elevate the players around them.
Was Sean Marion on those Dallas teams that went to the finals?
Before and after, I believe. Like, I believe he went back to the Cowboys. He played tight end for the Cowboys afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, and LeBron could play tight end for the Cowboys tomorrow. You know, like, we know that to be true.
Yeah, that's really what we're saying.
Yeah, with this is that LeBron needs to play football.
A lot of this is just that I'm tired of the he doesn't have enough help narrative, because there's an unbalanced system of credit where he gets all this credit when they win a game and he doesn't take blame when they lose a game.
I feel like he takes plenty of blame.
I don't think this series he hasn't taken anything. And they're about to lose it. I'm going to call it.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Okay, we have gotten way off track on this.
Oh, but the other hot take is that Russell Westbrook is a fancy Ricky Davis.
Oh, wow. And that's just because of the backboard, right?
Yes,
Ricky Davis and the triple-double.
I mean, there was actually some other stat, actually. I have to look it up. There's a thing of, like, only 7 players in the history of the league have done X. And it was, like, a bunch of legends, Russell Westbrook and Ricky Davis.
Ricky Davis.
Who actually I loved.
I also liked Ricky Davis because I thought he was fun. We had
Houston. You had the Pelicans. That was a good call. And you had... Oh, we got it because... This is why I'm ready to stop talking about the Thunder, and I can't wait for Paul George to leave and for that team to be irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because it's actually kind of shameful that I talked so much about the Thunder when it's really Utah is the... Like, they're great.
They're so good.
I love them.
Yeah.
And that's a lot coming from a Lakers fan, because I kind of despise that organization.
Somebody in my Lakers group text was telling me the same thing, and I roasted him because I was like, literally nobody with a franchise is the same. from those exactly. heydays. And we had Karl Malone on our fucking team.
I still hated him.
Right?
I hated him, and also we lost, so like I was just like, this is like for example, when back in the day when I was rooting for all the non Jordan teams, I hated the fact that one year I rooted for Stockton Malone and they lost. Yes, they don't have any of the same people, but Malone and Sloan were in the crowd of one of the games. Yeah, and I was like, oh, it's nice to see them. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's nice to see them.
I actually never hated Jerry Sloan.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, he really seemed like a nice guy.
So they're going up against Houston.
Yes.
That's going to be great. I'm excited about that series.
Yeah.
I think Houston's going to win that one.
Let's wait till predictions let's go back through the East. We still have to go through the East to say who we picked.
I'm picking Pacers over Cleveland.
I picked Cleveland. I'm going to pick Cleveland to win.
Okay.
I think that they're going to win tomorrow.
Oh, and I believe I had Cleveland.
Yes,
you did. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're picking the Pacers. You're riding the wave.
Yeah. Then we have the Milwaukee-Boston.
Milwaukee-Boston.
Which is ending up tonight.
I picked Boston seven.
I had Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I just thought that Giannis was going to Giannis.
Man. Giannis is so...
I did not think Middleton was going to Middleton.
Middleton has been on fire.
Yeah.
Right? The two of them have been good, and Eric Bledsoe has cratered into the middle of the earth, never to be seen again.
One day I'm going to make a list of players I'm glad I don't have to root for.
And Eric Bledsoe is on
top. Someone who talks so much shit as he does and literally makes some of the worst plays.
Oof.
I mean, some of them, like, it almost looks like we're in the game and we're trying to make a fancy pass and we literally throw it to no one.
If you know either of us, you know that we're just as good as Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Like,
we would look.
We're kings of the bad pass at when we're playing point guard. That's my thing. Is I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna try to do this pass, and I'm gonna do it, and everyone's gonna be like, "What the fuck were you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you try that pass?" I hate being blocked. That's another thing. I have a buddy who I play with who's 6'8", played some college ball, like D3. What up, Andrew? He has never blocked me.
Ever. Andrew has, or Eric Bledsoe has?
Andrew's never blocked me. This is a point of pride with me. Have I ever made a shot against him? No, never.
Oh, sorry. Little diversion. This is my thought about the Jazz Thunder game.
Okay.
Remember I had my like offense that was like just run out the 24-second clock, and you didn't like that idea. Yeah. First of all, I just realized, just put the bottom five players on the roster and have them do it. My thought yesterday was, what if you just told Russ, we're going to run a pick and roll, Gobert is going to switch on you, and then you try to dunk it, and you're going to get blocked, and you might get a couple charges, but in the first quarter, we're going to run that play 20 times in a row and see if we can get 3 fouls on him.
To try to get him out of the game, because in that game when they came back, he was on the bench.
I also think that the refs will not call, like, 6 charges in a row.
Yeah.
Just something about their mentality, be like, okay, we'll give that one to Russ and just reward his. So anyway, this is what I'm saying. You should have done that to Andrew.
I should have. But instead what I did was I just shoot the ball so high that it has no chance of going in, but also no chance of being blocked. Will I shoot the ball behind me so I don't get blocked? Absolutely.
Do you try to offload weird passes to get away from him in midair?
100%. And right, there's no reason why I would ever like be dribbling near him. It's just like I would get a rebound, and you know, like if he was 10 feet away from me, I'd get the rebound, and then he'd come to me. And
okay, let's say this: he's on offense. He's near the 3-point line.
Yes.
The guy you're guarding fumbles the ball.
Yes.
Into their backcourt.
Yes.
You retrieve it.
Yeah.
You're heading for a layup.
Yes.
He's the only one back. He's heading towards the goal as well.
There we go. That's
what is the result?
The result is I have thrown a shot that is so high and so far off of where it needs to be that I didn't get blocked, but my team automatically loses the game.
And the game of basketball ends.
Yes. And the world explodes. That's how good it is. That's what I'm about. All right. Never get blocked. Okay. 2K18.
NGB. Casey's. That's
never
Casey's.
Get blocked. Meet me on Twitter, people. All right. Never get blocked. You can never block me.
Toronto Wizards.
Yeah, I picked Toronto.
You were down with Toronto from the beginning.
Yes.
And did you lose any faith in them?
Yeah, I certainly did. In Washington, they played real bad in games 3 and 4. And I was like, uh-oh, this is the Toronto that we've all been worried about.
Yeah, I'm glad they recovered, though.
Me too.
It's funny, this year, I'm really maybe it's this last year of Lakers fandom.
Yeah.
That I'm really supportive of, like, team systems and play, and something about, like, it must be me, a Lakers person this year, and being, like, post-Kobe, is that I'm, like, not into, like, superstars this year.
Post-Kobe just, whoa, my brain. Yeah. There's other ways we can play basketball with people who don't need to shoot
during,
the ball.
The thing is, during Kobe, you had Kobe plus system for the most of it, which is the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm really happy for Toronto. Like, I'm really happy that they were, like, we're going to stick with our guys. It's almost like a thing that seems obvious, but, like, hey, what if we just try playing differently?
Yeah.
Like, people aren't just good or bad. People aren't just like, these are your skills, that's it. We got to get new people. It's like, we could change our philosophy.
If I can change, and you can change, then we can change.
What is that quote from?
It's from Rocky IV.
Best of the Rockies?
No. Rocky IV is not anywhere near the best of the Rockies. Rocky I, and then also...
Well, it almost just goes in order.
And Creed's very good. Do you count Creed as one of the Rocky movies?
I have not seen Creed.
Ooh,
and
girl.
I wouldn't count it, I don't think.
You should, because it counts. Okay. And it's so good. You got to watch it.
Rocky Balboa, the worst?
No.
You think 4 is the worst?
I think maybe 5 is the worst.
I think Rocky IV, Quest for Peace, is the worst.
Rocky IV, Russian spy mission.
Rocky II, Electric Boogaloo, and Rocky III, The Legend of Curly's Gold, and Rocky IV, Quest for Peace.
And Rocky VII, The Fate of the Rockies.
And I believe the last one we haven't talked about is Philly, Miami.
Yeah, go Sixers. Trust the process. We won.
I mean, Philly, all the East series, I think, are going to be fun now.
Yeah.
Because I think Toronto, actually, probably the... So, I guess what I like is I like systems versus superstars. Because I actually think Toronto versus Pacers is not going to be that interesting. It'll just be like, good basketball, guys.
Are you trying to say DeMar DeRozan isn't a superstar? Is that the implication here?
I think he'll be a superstar when he watches Kobe's detail episode about him.
Okay.
DeMar DeRozan's okay. You know, I'm glad he's doing well because he also has a lot of attitude. We were talking before the podcast started that the Wizards have an unearned amount of attitude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they literally haven't won anything.
No, of course.
And the amount of, like, just shade and just... like trash talk they have is just like, you guys haven't earned a single bit of this.
Hey, Marcin Gortat earned it as a backup on the Orlando Magic in those finals games.
Plus, okay. I appreciate Machine's ability to just like say whatever he wants.
Did you ever listen to his rap song?
No.
Oh my God, he made a Polish rap song, and the chorus is just like, NBA, welcome to Marcin Gortat. Amazing. It's honestly one of the funniest things in the whole world, and you've got to find some way to listen to it.
Right? I will listen to it. So Philly versus either Milwaukee or Boston.
Okay.
Let's go in round two.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's make these predictions. Start in the West because the series are set.
Okay, start in the West. I think Golden State, New Orleans. If a couple games might be close, but I don't think the series is going to be close at all. I think it's going to be Golden State in 5.
I'm saying Golden State in 7. Right, I think this is going to be harder because I don't think Curry's going to be back at full capacity. And I think that, in the past, the Pelicans have been unable to touch the Warriors. Right, they had that series where they got swept in the first round and it wasn't close. It was that one where Curry made that ridiculous three-pointer from the inbound. Then he got fouled. It was ridiculous. Yeah, I think that the Pelicans are going to be able to take a couple of games, and I would not be surprised if they took one of the first two, maybe even today's game.
So I was swayed by a Coach Nick B-ball breakdown video.
Ooh, get your B-ball breakdown on. We love that guy.
And he basically just said, like, if you look at the amount of three-point scoring that the teams have, Golden State this year is something like 44-10 when they outscore the other team from the three-point line, and they are like the best three-pointer shooter on New Orleans, I think, is is this the Mirotić team?
Yeah
I think it's Mirotić.
There's no way that the Pelicans are going to compete behind the three-point line. It's not going to happen. They don't have the outside shooting to do that. I don't think that with Curry at, you know, 50, 70, 80%, mm-hmm. I don't think that they're going to be able to, like, dominate this team. I think they're win. I think they'll win.
I don't think I wouldn't be surprised if they don't dominate a single game, but I think they're going to dominate the series game wise. Okay. I think a lot. I'd be unsurprised if the games are all within 10 to 10 points.
Yeah, 10 to 10.
10 to, I was going to say 10 to 15. Yeah. 15's kind of a blowout.
Yeah. Yeah, between 10 and 10 points, you know, like in that small range.
Yeah. My over and under is no. so I think that what did they do with the season series?
I think it was split or like 3-1 something.
I think the game that was on earlier on the Warriors TV won. was one of the season games, and yes. It was like the Warriors won like 128 to 125 or something like that.
Yeah, when they're both running at full capacity, the Warriors win by 15 points. Yeah. Right, when the Warriors are at full capacity and the Pelicans are not, it's a 30-point blowout. When the Warriors are just okay and the Pelicans are great, it's close, right?
I think that the Warriors' offense looked really good in round one.
Yeah.
And the Spurs' defense is better than the Pelicans' defense.
Oh, yeah, by far. The Pelicans' defense is not great, except for Drew has been a lockdown defender.
Yeah.
And AD was kind of everywhere, but...
X-Factor, Alvin Gentry.
He knows. Maybe he knows. He knows what's up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as you can tell by the way that Lakers and Luka have played Golden State real tight, you know, over the past couple mm-hmm. of years, you know, when those ex-coaches come through, they know how to, you know, get stops and, you know, disrupt teams and also how to disrupt that swarming defense of theirs. So, yeah.
By the way, I'm glad we started Golden State again as if they're in the number one seed.
Yeah. Golden State, the number one seed in our hearts, in our minds. And just because number two isn't number one, It's not how I feel. I think part of that might be because we know what's going to happen in the next series, and
is that Donovan Mitchell's going to? No, what were you saying?
Oh, I'm calling it. I'm saying Utah in six.
Ooh,
yeah.
Well, I'm torn because if I pick Houston in seven, then I'll be right, and if I'm wrong. What I'm saying is, if they win, I'll be right. And if they lose, I'll be happy.
Okay. All right.
I used to do that a lot as a kid. I would, like, make bets with people, like, against the Lakers.
You're a hedger.
I would hedge against my own emotions.
Yes. Yeah, that's fair. We got to get some money on these emotions.
So I think genuinely heightened. I'm going to take Houston in seven.
Okay.
I actually don't know what the Rockets look like when they're tested. I don't think anybody does, really.
Yeah, they look like a team that scores 50 points in a quarter.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how many quarters did they play in that first round series? Right? They played 20 quarters, and they had one that was dominant.
Yeah.
And that quarter was so dominant that it made the Timberwolves fold.
Yeah. Do you think the Jazz would fold under similar circumstances?
No, I do not. No. Yeah. We do have to keep an eye on Ricky Rubio, the bearded monster.
Hamstring.
He's got an injury.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes, but I think that honestly, I think that I like the way that the Utah's playing, and I think that they've got the ability to take Houston out of their element.
Mm-hmm. This is what I'm worried about. I think that Utah is, again, well coached enough that my. Meta worry or like a holistic worry. Since,
yeah, my meta world peace worry. My meta worry
that they
piece.
Will be good enough to challenge Houston so that Houston gets better.
Ooh.
For the next round.
Okay.
You know, like, because I think talent level wise, they'll just be edged out by Harden and Paul and crew.
Okay.
So it feels like one of those series where Houston goes in. And because this particular Rockets team hasn't been through the playoffs in this configuration, they don't really know what it's like when their backs are against the wall yet.
Okay.
And that it galvanizes them, and then they become a tougher opponent for the Warriors in the next round. That's my worry.
Yeah. Your worry as a low-key Warriors fan is that the Warriors might have a harder path to the
NBA
Finals.
I either want the Jazz to, like, lay down in five.
Okay.
Or to win the series.
Okay. Here's how I feel. I think that Chris Paul ain't ever seen playoff Donovan Mitchell before.
Oh, that's very true.
All right. Nobody can contain this guy.
Only one team has seen playoff.
That's true. Playoff and they team. Got their butts whooped. Who's sitting down? It's OKC. Let's go, Jazz. I wore my Paul Millsap jersey, Jazz, all day yesterday, because I wanted it to come true. I wanted it to happen. So I made it happen.
Well, I hope your prediction comes true and then I'm wrong.
Okay, great.
Next in the West. Oh no, that's it.
That's it. That's all we got.
In the East, first of all, you're sticking with Cleveland.
I'm sticking with Cleveland. And you know, we can't really make these predictions official until the series are final.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to get a 10-minute like prediction podcast.
Oh, I'm happy for another podcast after Cleveland loses. So if you don't see another podcast until next week, it's because Cleveland won. And I'm too annoyed. I think the Pacers are going to win because I stick by what I said before. They're just bouncier. Yeah. Like when you watch the games, they're fun to watch. Yeah. Like they just get two steps ahead to every loose ball, and they don't get them all the time, and things don't go their way. And they're a young team that can be slightly boneheaded at times.
Yeah.
I think they are still like not totally sure. An advantage that Cleveland has is in a crunch moment, we're passing it to one guy. We've all been through this before.
Yeah.
We have a rhythm as to how it
goes. And J.R. Smith is going to make those shots.
Exactly.
We need to talk about this.
Exactly. J.R. Smith is going to like not pass to open men and shoot a three-pointer when you don't need a three-pointer.
Yeah. No, that's the way it should be. That's the J.R. Smith game plan, and we're going to take J.R. Smith and we're going to take him to the top.
There were a couple times in the Pacers game where I was like, where Miles Turner like made three-point shots, and I was like, "Holy crap." Like
yeah.
If he's doing that in a game,
yeah. Oh my God. We're a couple of years away from Miles Turner putting it all together.
Yeah.
He's close. He's tantalizingly close.
Yeah. I just like their energy. I think they're the most, them and the Jazz are like energetic teams that are just fun to watch.
Yeah.
I haven't watched a lot of Celtics.
They're not fun to watch because they slog on offense and like they play really good defense and they are put together, but it's just
So wait, either whoever wins, they're getting the Raptors.
Yeah.
Are you stick with your Toronto?
I am gonna pick the Raptors over either of those teams if they're playing against Cleveland. I'm picking Raptors in 6, and if I'm playing against the Pacers, I'm picking Raptors in 5.
Pacers. Oh, okay. Yeah. I think it'll be 6 either way.
Okay.
No, you know what? I'm gonna reverse you. Toronto Raptors in 6 over the Pacers, in 5 over Cleveland.
Okay.
I think you're probably looking at a Raptors Philly.
That's your finals. You're taking Philly over any team that comes out of the Boston Milwaukee.
Yeah. I first of all, I would just wait, let me write these down. Talk for a sec.
Great. I think that I'm picking Philly to win as well, because I want it to happen. I don't know if I'm picking it because I believe it's going to happen. I think that they would beat either of those teams, but I'm going with my heart here, and I'm picking Philly in 4 against either of those teams. That's right. This is a I'm going with my heart pick. I'm not making this pick because it's smart or good. I'm making it because it's bad. I'm trusting the process in the round 2 to take them to the next level.
I think Philly's in 5.
Okay.
Philly's.
I'm taking Philly in 3. We're not even going to play game.
No, I
4.
Mean the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh yes.
Will get more home runs than
talk
Milwaukee.
About that. It's Rice Hoskins, how do you say his name? This kid can mash. All right. The Phillies have been on fire this season. You don't want to bring up my Phillies topics.
Casey, this is the year of Ohtani.
Okay.
There's no one else to talk
100%.
About.
100%. It's the year of Ohtani.
I don't follow baseball at all.
And he signed with the Angels, and we're going to have to talk about the fucking Angels.
First of all, anytime an Asian player does well, I'm there for it.
That's
Hideki
right.
Irabu. I had his jersey.
Oh, did you have his mountains of porn from...
No.
Hideki Irabu, famous for his mountains of... He had like a library of pornography.
I was also called Irabu often in pickup games in New York City around that time.
Pickup?
Basketball games.
Basketball games.
People would call me Hideki
Irabu. Racists are the worst. Why? Like, why does that even make sense?
Yeah. And also... Mike Socia, Angels. Is he still the Angels manager?
Yeah.
Is one of the most adorable men in the entire world. So I'm happy to talk about the Angels.
Okay. All right.
So, and you've got Philly in sweepy in
yeah. I've four. Got Philly in one. They're going to win one game and they're going to cancel the rest of the series.
I really want the Bucks to win because I think Giannis versus Embiid. Not that they will really always be, but like there will just be enough encounters between them.
Yeah, and just two great players playing. Whereas if they play against the Celtics,
I think the Celtics are to me are just like I kind of want them out of the playoffs because like we know you're not going to win the championship.
Yeah,
and there's not that much interesting about your team because it's not really your team. Like there's two huge pieces missing from your team.
Three huge pieces. Don't forget about the foreign center guy, Theus,
Reggie Theus.
Yes, Reggie Theus. Yeah, talk about a flat top, Reggie exactly. Theus. That guy.
Why did I want to say the word Jerebko?
Because Jerebko plays for Utah.
Oh, okay. All these dudes.
And he used to play for the Celtics.
But you know what I mean? Like, we're not getting...
Daniel
so if,
Theus.
Yes. I've never heard his name said. I thought his name was Tice.
Tice. That's probably how his name is.
I actually don't know how it is.
I'm in my head.
Actually, his name is The Is.
The Is?
Yeah. So it's a very existential... Yes. Meditative, like what is the isness of this moment? It's Daniel.
It is Daniel. That is what the isness is.
Whereas, okay, if the Pacers lose, you can say like, great year for them, overachieved. We got to see a little preview of their team, and they've gained playoff experience for next year. And it's like, if I was a Pacers fan, I'd be like, yeah, cool. Like, I'm seeing this team sort of grow. Celtics, I guess if you're a Celtics fan, you can be like, Tatum and Brown are getting playoff experience. But yeah. Like as a non-Celtics person, I'm just like, I don't care. This is your JV team. So they're not going to make it past the next round anyway. So like, okay. I just don't care.
But like, what if a plucky group of young JV basketball players took their team all the way to the finals? Okay. And then in the finals, one of them got injured and then he has to throw to first base, but he uses a hidden ball trick to get the guy out, and then he wins Rookie of the Year, and then he goes back and plays for his little league team. I'm just saying.
Is this the rookie?
Rookie of the Year.
I was going to say, is this the rookie with Dennis Quaid?
Yes, it is the rookie with Dennis Quaid. I'm getting my joke metaphors mixed up.
I've not seen Rookie of the Year.
Oh.
I've not seen a lot of sports movies. I've not seen Space Jam, and I don't know that I care if I haven't seen it. I feel like I've gotten enough references through the number of improv shows that I've done where it has been brought up.
Well, I mean, what references do you need other than...
The Monstars?
The Monstars. Also, if you stick with this and decide not to watch Space Jam, listen to the Space Jam soundtrack.
Oh.
It's a 90s pleasure.
Mm.
A lot of my best moments were listening to a Space Jam soundtrack that I got at a birthday party. So great.
Wow.
So great. It's like some of the best like real 90s like R&B and hip hop. Also Chris Rock doing his Lil Penny on
Oh my god. Is that in the movie?
It's not in the movie. It's on the soundtrack.
Weird.
Yeah, he does his Lil Penny with Basketball Jones, the song.
Uh-huh.
Basketball Jones. I got a Basketball Jones. I got a Basketball Jones. Oh baby. Oh yeah, talking about this basketball. It's you. I mean, shout us out on Twitter. Shout us out on Facebook. Shout us out on iTunes podcast. If you want Chris to listen to the Space Jam soundtrack,
yes. Also, right? I'll recommend the soundtrack for the movie Ready to Wear, which is also very good.
Great. What the fuck is that?
That's a movie. It was also called Prêt-à-Porter.
Okay.
Directed by Robert Altman.
Okay.
It also, I think in the '90s. It was called Ready to Wear Here. I've never actually seen the movie, but the soundtrack has the song na 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 na
na na na na na na na na na na.
Here come the hot stepper. I'm the lyrical gangster. You know the one?
I feel like I remember that song.
Not basketball related at all.
Okay, well, shout us out in the comments if you want me to listen to the
Prêt-à-Manger. If you want Casey to eat a Prêt-à-Manger
yes.
Sandwich store, which we don't have in L.A.
No, we don't.
And they're quite wonderful. Or listen to the Ready to Wear soundtrack. By the way, we have an email address now.
Yeah. Send us some questions. Send us some comments.
I believe it is ruleofthreespodcast@gmail.com, and three is a number.
Yeah, and we'll put that in the description.
Yes, ruleofthreespodcast@gmail.com, because we want to hear feedback. Feel free to tell me how wrong I am. My thoughts are very unresearched for the most part, except when I really want to deeply research something and go into a rabbit hole. And then I basically over research to the point where the person I'm arguing with doesn't care anymore.
Yes.
And they just look at like the work I've done and they're just like, you're a sad person.
Hey, we're here to put that work in. We're here to make these predictions.
Oh, I'll just say, like, the last one I did was researching the amount of Victor Oladipo's shooting patterns around the rim.
Yeah.
To respond to people on Reddit who said that he was trying to finger roll that shot that was a goaltend. If you look at that shot, the idea that he would go to the left side of the rim and attempt a reverse finger roll instead of just using the backboard like he's been practicing his entire life, the way everybody learns how to do layups.
Yeah.
And also, he shoots 69% from zero to 3 feet.
Nice.
So he's a good finisher.
Yeah.
That's probably like well above average for like people of his height and right? So like the idea that he has instincts that would then suddenly give him the worst possible shot, and that he would finger roll is insane. And that was the point that the person on Reddit stopped responding to my comments.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Getting in Reddit fights and making it happen.
Reddit fights and Facebook fights. The thing is that I currently like have a lot of free time and I have like almost an endless amount of energy to continue a grudge.
Okay.
So often on Facebook and Reddit, what happens is the other person just goes like either they'll delete their entire thread or they'll just be like, you know, out of frustration and just they will never get the last word in. I will always have another comment.
Well, it's been a lot of fun trying to convince you of something. Let's
yeah, exactly. Let's just call it a day.
Let's call it a day.
I'm excited though. I feel like these playoffs are they feel so fun to me.
They're so fun. And like this year,
did they always feel fun? Or I mean,
so last year was not fun. Last year was a weird playoffs that didn't feel fun.
Yeah.
The year before, it was fun because we had two teams come back from 3-1.
Right.
Lest anyone
forget.
Just
seem like there's so many fun storylines this year.
A lot of fun storylines. It feels like the first year of a bit of a changing of the guard,
yeah,
which is always, you know, it felt predetermined last year. It felt predetermined, and then it wasn't the year that the Warriors lost. And then it felt predetermined the year before a little, even as they were marching to their first championship. This year it feels like anything can happen, and that to me is awesome. It feels great to know that we're not getting a world beater like we were in the past. We're getting teams that are both strong and flawed, and it's fun. And that's the not knowing and having to watch is the best part.
I also think that this year, I do think it's predetermined that whoever wins the West is going to win. I know you don't because you love the Raptors.
Sixers
and all that. But let's say even if that's true, it feels more fun this year because I think the East storylines are still fun. Like watching Giannis is fun. The Sixers rising is fun.
Yeah.
The Pacers rising is fun.
The Raptors playing 10 men.
Yeah.
Fred Van Vliet, my guy, Wichita State.
Yeah. So like
abolish
the NCAA. Even if I think that the entire East side is going to just like be playing for second place, I still am more engaged with the playoffs this year on their side of the bracket than I have been previously.
Yeah.
So you know what? Maybe it's a combination of this. There's less predetermination of the Warriors winning. There's also less predetermination of LeBron winning the East.
Ooh.
That's what it is. I just realized.
You hate LeBron so much.
I kind of do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. I was thinking the other day that LeBron is like, every like big superstar is sort of reflective of, like, we get the superstar we kind of deserve for our time. And,
wow.
And I do think that he's reflective of a little bit of what I've said before, his egomania. They're all egomaniacs.
Smiling through it all, man. I can't believe this is my life.
I know that Jordan is an egomaniac, and I know that Kobe's an egomaniac. I would even believe that Tim Duncan is, right? On some level. Like, maybe he is, maybe he's not. But Jordan and Kobe, there's no question that they're insane.
You believe Tim Duncan, an egomaniac? Tim Duncan, mild-mannered IT worker for the Spurs?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was like, oh, he's actually like a huge diva in these very specific, obscure ways.
Okay.
That's what I would believe.
I would be very surprised. I'm just going to put that on the record. If it came out that Tim Duncan was a huge diva in any sort of way, I would be incredibly surprised. I guess the only way that I wouldn't be surprised if it was like during his Dungeons & Dragons sessions.
It's not a reflection of anything about Tim Duncan. I just think that any person who is treated the way these guys are treated from the age of like seventh grade on, I'm not surprised if any person in that position becomes like self-involved.
Okay.
So, and he might be him and like Steve Nash or whoever might be the, like the, you know, maybe everyone in the Spurs organization are these like outliers that don't get affected that way. But I think I just think putting that amount of fame and power and money on anybody is going to distort. Like, this is a whole nother subset of theory where I think celebrity is like this like form of insanity.
Okay.
That basically wrecks almost everybody. It's like an unsustainable human condition to be famous, and like maintain like a normalcy. Yeah. That said, I think that LeBron has a different flavor of that particular kind of superstardom that I don't like, but I do think is reflective of like a combination of, I think in his mind, I think he more outwardly expresses that he sort of cares about himself more than the team, and that, I don't remember what the other point was. So another version of that.
Well, I can't wait until next season when I get to buy you a LeBron Lakers jersey.
Well, it's going to be tough because, if he becomes a Laker, it'll be interesting. Cause like, you know, when I rooted against Jordan and the Bulls, I hated Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
And then I liked Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see if I become a defender of his. But the thing is, like, then it might be a Karl Malone situation. I kind of hated him that entire season.
Yeah.
And then he proved me right by sucking.
By sucking, by being hurt, and, you know, by not being as good as...
And also, he's just a genuinely unlikable person. Like, even Jazz fans don't love him.
Yeah.
You know. I think he's got issues with the Jazz organization.
I could see that. I don't remember if he does or he doesn't.
He's just on a farm somewhere.
God bless his soul.
If you hear from us on Monday, you'll know why.
Yeah.
We should probably just do one midweek anyway. Yeah. I should just swallow the fact that LeBron's probably going to score 50 points and hit a game winner.
We're going to pop a midweek one this week. But it's a...
I'll lump it if he wins that series for them.
Yeah, how about this? We'll make it a short one if they win. Just get those actual end predictions in there. But if not, we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, so you guys send us an email.
Yeah.
Hit us up on Twitter.
Hit us up on Twitter. We'll respond.
Oh, for sure. We have nothing to do.
Nothing to do.
Yeah. All right, see you next time.
All right, bye.
Bye.